Eugene Eric Kim is a co-founder and principal of Blue Oxen Associates, and he's going to be talking today about Wikimedia. And so, Eric, are you ready to go?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great. Well, thanks. And thank everyone for coming by and listening in on this. I'm very glad to be talking about this. Can we have the next slide, please? So just to give you a brief overview of who I am and what I'm going to be talking about, my name is Eugene Kim. I'm the principal of a consulting firm called Blue Oxen Associates. I founded this company about 8 years ago. And basically, the goal of the company is to improve collaboration. There's a social mission underlying it. So we want to have a positive effect on the world. We want to share our knowledge widely. And there are a lot of sort of underlying principles of the company that were strongly influenced by open source. So one of the projects I've been working on this past year is leading the strategic planning process for Wikimedia. And so I want to start off by telling a little bit about the story of Wikimedia, what it is, what the scope of the challenges are, how this whole strategic planning process came about. And then I want to talk about how you do strategic planning the Wiki way. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on sort of the process side of that, some of the challenges that we come up with and so forth. I'm going to talk a little bit about the results of the process so far. We're almost done. We've got about a month to go, and so we've got some good results that I can talk about. And then I want to spend a few minutes on lessons learned. So next slide, please. Okay, so I think actually, are my poll questions coming up here, or are they after the slide? Okay, here we go. Great.
We're ready with the poll.
Fantastic. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to get a little bit of a sense of the audience here. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to ask all of you to answer three questions. And so if you can start off and answer this first question and click on vote. Have you accessed Wikipedia in the past month? Please take a second to answer that.
Okay. We voted, I assume.
Great. So can I see the results of that?
It's coming.
Great. Fantastic. Okay, so 90% of the people here on this call have accessed Wikipedia in the past month. That might seem about right for most people, but actually, if we look at the numbers worldwide, or let's take the United States, for example, the United States has one of the highest access rates of Wikipedia right now. And only 35% of the online population actually access Wikipedia every month. So that gives you sort of a benchmark of, you know, where Wikimedia is at right now. All right, can we have the next question, please? Great. So the next question is, have you edited Wikipedia in the past? And so about 20%, which is actually a very good percentage of people as well. As you can imagine, the percentage of readers who actually edit Wikipedia every month, it's in the 100th percentile, so it's very tiny. Okay, so the next question, please. All right, so this is the last question for all of you. Have you edited Wikipedia more than 5 times in the past month? So, you know, this is not a test. You know, just guess if you don't know exactly.
We're all slackers. While we're waiting for that poll to come up, I just want to add that one of the Wikipedia entries that I edited was Thomas Friedman's The World is Flat. Somebody had misreported the name of the fourth force. They called it uploading. And I corrected that to what the book actually calls it. They call it open source.
Oh, very nice. And so did that edit stick?
Yes, it has.
Okay, very good. Glad to hear that. So as we're waiting for this, the answer for this last question to come up, I'll just give you some context for the question. Within the Wikimedia community, we basically measure active contributors as the number of people who edit Wikipedia about 5 times a month. And so the number of active contributors for English Wikipedia specifically, which is the largest of the language Wikipedias, is about 40,000 people a month. So you can imagine Wikipedia or the Wikimedia project is a top 5 website, which I'll talk about in a second. And so literally hundreds of millions of people read Wikipedia and all the different Wikimedia projects every month. But only about 40,000 people edit English Wikipedia every month. And about 90,000 people worldwide edit Wikimedia projects 5 times or more every month. So we're really talking about a relatively, you know, on from one point of view, it's a relatively small community, right, 90,000. On the other side of things, 90,000 people editing, you know, this resource every month, I think, is really tremendous. So I'll give a little context to that in a second. So are we going to see the results of that last question? Fantastic. Oh, okay, very good. So 5%. So we actually have a relatively active Wikipedia audience. Right now, the current, for English Wikipedia, the current percentage of readers who actually are active contributors is about 0.02%. So we're doing really well right now with this. Okay, fantastic. So this should be a really interesting talk then. I'll look forward to people's feedback. Let's go to this first slide. So as I mentioned, this is for the Wikimedia project. And basically, Wikimedia consists of 10 different projects. The largest and most well-known of is Wikipedia. Amongst these 10 projects, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of different language versions of each project. And so if you consider all the different language versions and all the different projects, there are about 700 projects across the entire Wikimedia universe. Next slide, please. So these projects did not come together randomly. There was a vision that was originally articulated by Jimmy Wales, who was the founder of Wikipedia, and that's been refined and revisited several times over the year. And the vision is essentially this. Imagine a world in which every single human being can freely share in the sum of all knowledge. That's our commitment. So right there from the vision statement, you kind of get a sense of what the benchmarks are in terms of what the ultimate goal of Wikimedia is. So at the end of the day, Wikimedia wants to basically reach out to every single human being. You want the entire sum of all knowledge to be available, and you want everyone to be able to freely share in that knowledge. And so part of freely means having content that's open license, and probably part of sharing means not just reading or accessing content, but being able to contribute and collaborate around content. So it's a huge goal. And the project itself, Wikipedia is about 9 years old now. Next slide, please. Across the board, the Wikimedia projects are actually doing quite well. So Wikimedia consists of one of the top 5 websites in the world. So this slide is not totally coming through here. So basically, I can tell you what those numbers are. These are the top 5 websites in the world right now, ordered by rank. So Google is the biggest at about 920 million. You can see Wikimedia at the bottom, and it gets about 370 is the latest number according to ComScore. So about 370 million people a month worldwide access Wikimedia. So the next two columns just sort of give you a benchmark of how Wikimedia compares to these other top five organizations. And so the Google number in terms of annual revenue isn't printed right now. I believe it's, see if I actually have the number. It's $23 billion. So Google is $23 billion company a year. Microsoft is a little bit larger. They do $58 billion in revenue. Yahoo is still doing well. It's at $6 billion. Facebook is doing remarkably well for given its revenue. It's at $300 million, and they reach 470 million people a month, which I think is remarkable. The Wikimedia Foundation, which is the nonprofit that's associated with the Wikimedia Project, it brings in about $10 million a year. So we're talking several orders of magnitude smaller. If you look at the furthest right column, what you see are the number of employees at those organizations. So you see that Google and Microsoft and Yahoo are all in the tens of thousands. Facebook is at about 1,200. The Wikimedia Foundation has about 35 people right now. So again, we're talking several orders of magnitude different. So how does it do it? How is it possible for such a tiny organization to be one of the top five websites in the world with such a small level of revenue and with such a small number of employees? Next slide, please. Since we do have a lot of people who are active Wikipedians here, who have access to Wikipedia, you probably know already that the reason this is possible is that ultimately Wikimedia is a grassroots effort. Built on the contributions of millions of volunteers around the world. So the Wikimedia Foundation, which represents just a tiny part of that whole Wikimedia universe, it essentially owns the trademarks. It owns Wikimedia, Wikipedia, all those other trademarks, and it owns and operates the servers. So those are the primary roles of Wikimedia. Now, the foundation has adopted some other roles as well, and so part of the strategic planning process over this past year has been to try to answer the question of what should the Wikimedia Foundation's goals and roles be over the next 5 years, what should its priorities be, and that sort of stuff. In addition to all of these volunteers, there are affiliated chapters. There are 27 worldwide right now with several others under development, and there are a lot of also partner organizations. Organizations that are really aligned with the Wikimedia vision, and organizations like Creative Commons, for example, projects like OpenStreetMap or Omega Wiki, a lot of projects that are trying to do different things that we consider to be sort of part of the whole Wikimedia. Next slide, please. So about a year and a half ago, the Wikimedia Foundation decided that one of the things that it wanted to do was to try and bring alignment around its priorities and its goals and see how much closer it could get to achieving its vision of a world in which all the sum of all knowledge was freely shared amongst every single individual. So it's, the Wikimedia projects are reaching about 400 million people a year right now. That's only about 5% of the world's population. So it has a long way to go in terms of access, in terms of participation, and certainly in terms of the quality of the projects as well. So they decided, the foundation decided that they wanted to undergo a strategic planning process. But because this is such a grassroots project, because it's a movement and not simply an organizational project, the Wikimedia Foundation wanted to do a strategic planning process for the entire movement. And in particular, they felt very strongly, and I think rightfully so, that a Wikimedia strategic planning process had to be done the Wiki way. And so the question was, how do you do that? So what is a strategic planning process in the first place, and how do you do it in a way where it's completely open and where it scales potentially to millions of people? So I'm going to ask a couple of questions again from the audience to get a sense of what people's experiences with strategic planning processes have been. It's another poll question. So have you ever participated in a strategic planning process? Please take a second to vote. We'll see where people are at there. Okay, so we have a good number of people here who have participated in at least one strategic planning process. And so, you know, that makes sense given the audience. Can we have the next question, please? The next question is, have you participated in more than one strategic planning process? Yes, if you've been involved with more than one strategic planning process. Okay, and while we wait for the result of this poll, I'll just go ahead and give you a preview of the last question I'm going to ask you, which is, oh, here we go. Okay, so actually a very high percentage of you actually participated in more than one strategic planning process. Great, so let's have the last question. So the last question is, how many of you who participated in multiple strategic planning processes, how many of those processes felt mostly the same? So as we wait for the results of this poll, I'll give you the context for these questions and why this was one of the first challenges we were grappling with. You know, when you think about an open source project, or when you think about Wikipedia, for example, we have no idea who the participant is. Okay, here we go. So so about a third of you have felt like the strategic planning processes have been about the same. And then the rest of you have felt that sometimes it's about the same, or about 15% of you say it's all the processes have been different. And I think that's one of the key challenges here, right? If you ask someone, what does it mean to write an encyclopedia article? I think most people will largely have the same experience. You know, there's some research involved. You go, you put some content up. You know, most people have a sense of what an encyclopedia is, and so, you know, you have a sense of what the end result is supposed to be. So opening that process up to participants around the world, like, you're going to figure that there are going to be some big, high percentage of people who can participate in that. Similar thing goes for open source projects, right? If you're a software developer, if you've developed any software in the past, you kind of have a sense of, you know, how it works, right? So every different project has sort of different processes to some extent. You know, there are different engineering processes and so forth, so there might be differences in that sense. But most people know what it means to develop code, and, you know, a lot of people now know what it means to develop code collaboratively. So from the strategic planning process, you can imagine one of our challenges, right? Even with this business-oriented group here, only about two-thirds of the people on this call participate in the strategic planning process. Well, if you look at the bulk of the contributors to the Wikimedia project, what we know about the demographic is that they're largely students. There are people under the age of 30, many of them who are in school, and frankly, many of them who have time on their hands, similar to people who work on open source projects. Well, the problem with that is if you don't have experience with strategic planning processes, then how do you participate in an open strategic planning process? How do you come to consensus of even what the processes should be? Even those people who have participated in strategic planning processes know that no process or most processes are never identical. And so, you know, coming to consensus on process and moving forward and all of those things were going to be challenging. So can I have the next slide, please? So one of our challenges was going to be simply explaining and showing people what strategic planning is. Next slide, please. And the way we articulated it, and the way I generally articulate strategic planning with any of my clients, is that strategic planning tries to answer these three questions. Where are we now? Where do we want to go? And how do we get there? Next slide, please. So how do we do this in a completely open, highly participatory way? Well, the wiki way for strategic planning, the naive way of thinking about how to do it, might be simply put the questions up on the wiki. And if you wait long enough and if you ask people to go there, then hopefully people come, they look at the questions, they have all sorts of these conversations, and a few months later, the strategic plan magically appears. And actually, what we see right here is we do see the wiki that we use for strategic planning. The URL for that is strategy.wikimedia.org, if you want to take a peek at that. And early on in the process, we did, in fact, put those three questions up, and we encouraged people to come on board and, you know, start editing the pages and start putting those thoughts on. However, the reality of the situation is this is not how wikis work. There is no magical thing where you put something up, and if you build it, they will come, right? And again, if you think about sort of the cultural challenges that we're facing, the fact that most people have never participated in the strategic planning process, and frankly, the fact that a lot of people come to Wikimedia projects because they care about some obscure topic that they want to write about, and not necessarily because they're thinking about, you know, sort of the broader vision, just simply getting people engaged was going to be challenging. Next slide, please. And so the primary challenge that we were going to be faced with was attention, right? So how are we going to get people's attention? How are we going to engage people long enough to look at research, to help with the research, to go through, to spend time deliberating around really challenging questions that we were grappling with around the Wikimedia movement, and then ultimately to help us write the plan? Next slide, please. So our approach to this was, okay, we want this as an open community process. Let's run it like an open source project. Okay, so we actually have a model for how all of this stuff works. And so, you know, the principles of an open source project that we really adopted for this, number one, working openly and transparently. I cannot emphasize how important doing things openly and transparently is, especially for this kind of process. And I'll come back to this over and over again. One of the reasons why this is so critical, some of the obvious reasons why it's critical, is that when you work openly and transparently, you leave yourself open to network effects. So you leave yourself open to emergence, surprise, right? People coming out of the woodwork to contribute in ways that you would never have thought possible, really improving the quality, improving the scope of what you're doing, and so forth. And then, you know, another outcome of that is scale, right? The fact that if you do something openly and transparently, then you open yourself to the possibility that this is a process and a project that can really scale up and attract a lot of participants. The other reason why this is particularly important for our approach was, again, our assumption was that most of the people who would come to this process would not have experience with the strategic planning process. And so it was really important for us to build the capacity of the community to help them understand what strategic planning was by modeling. And that really goes to sort of the second point here, which is scratch your own itch, right? So one of the challenges I think that organizations have when they think about bottoms-up processes right now, like this, is how do you balance the top-down from the bottoms-up? And sometimes people don't want to actually consider themselves participants in a bottoms-up process because they feel like that's how it works. I think that's actually a misguided point of view. So my point of view in terms of how you do this was, actually, you put together a team of people who are committed to doing a strategic planning process. But again, you invite other people to go and to participate. You leave open opportunities for other people to contribute to the process. So you're committed to go through and to do it and to do it in an open way, but you're always looking and hoping that other people will contribute as well. And so, again, attention being the big constraint here, one of our challenges was, okay, how do we create a lot of micro-opportunities for people to contribute? So simple things that will just get people engaged with the process and hopefully coming back more. And then once we get a bunch of people like that, people sort of centered around the project, how do we encourage more people to become core contributors? Really stay engaged with the project for a long time. And, you know, the initial strategy for that was, okay, well, if we start with a team of people, we scratch our own itch, we start doing what we know has to be done, we put other opportunities out there, and we do that in an open way. The last point I'll make here is release early and often. So this, I think, is sort of the big difference between how most top-down strategic planning processes work and how our strategic planning process works, which is that there's a lot of deliberations that you have to put out there. And frankly, there's a lot of stupid ideas that you're going to come up with. And that's normal. That's part of any good planning process, which is get all the ideas out on the table and really do an honest assessment of what's a good idea and what's a bad idea. And you never know up front, you know, what those things are going to be. So one of the challenges, especially for people who have never participated in an open source project before, is that when you do it transparently, you leave yourself open to making mistakes, for saying things stupid, and that kind of stuff. Well, from our internal team point of view, which included people who had never participated in this kind of process before, one of the things that I had to really push was, okay, release early enough, right? Put yourself out there. Don't sit down and deliberate all the time and wait for 2 weeks and then post a response or post your ideas and so forth. Go out there, be visible. And frankly, if you're not screwing up, you're not trying hard enough. I think that's really important. Like, you are going to fail in a lot of ways. And actually, failing transparently is okay. And frankly, the kind of culture that I wanted to encourage with my team was that if you're not failing, then we're not being aggressive enough. We really need to try a lot harder. Next slide, please. So I talked about how this was largely like an open source project. Well, one of the key differences is that with wikis give everyone, even anonymous users, commit access by default. So in most open source projects, you have source code. You have some kind of source code repository. And then only the core team has commit access to that source code repository. And so, you know, people can contribute patches. People on the core team will look over the patches, and they'll integrate them if it makes sense. And then if someone proves themselves to be a really good contributor, then, you know, they can get commit. Different open source projects have sort of different thresholds of who they give commit to. Some projects are very protective of commit access, and then some open source projects are very liberal. Well, wikis go on the furthest spectrum of liberal. By default, most wikis, certainly the Wikimedia wikis, is everyone, including anonymous users, by default. So how is that going to work, right? Well, it works on scale on Wikipedia because there's clarity around the intent. So, again, with Wikipedia, you're developing encyclopedic content. Most people have a sense of what an encyclopedia looks like, so you can sort of have good faith that when people are writing and contributing to Wikipedia, it's going to look somewhat like an encyclopedia article. And there's also this principle on Wikipedia in particular called neutral point of view. And essentially, that's saying that the goal of every Wikipedia article is to basically represent a multiplicity of views and not to basically have a particular political slant. So that actually works out quite well in sort of the wiki way because you can go and you can look at pages and everyone has their own opinion, and they can read a page and they can say, well, is my point of view represented? It doesn't have to be the only point of view, but it has to be represented there. And if it is, then you know, people can kind of coordinate and collaborate around that. Well, you can't have that principle with strategic planning. Strategic planning is not about neutral point of view. Strategic planning is about making choices. And so, again, what that sort of culture was going to be in terms of how people interacted with this strategic planning wiki in particular, we knew that it was going to be different from an open source project. Everyone could contribute. We also knew it was even going to be different from Wikipedia, because we couldn't use all of the same principles that strategic planning does. That Wikipedia does, excuse me. And so part of what we had to do in terms of fleshing this out was to be as concrete as possible about the principles, but also to leave those open and evolve those as we started understanding how the community was going to operate. And then also to be as clear as possible about decision making. And so, you know, we would leave certain pages open and we would say, you know, everyone can participate and change it and so forth. But in some cases, we actually said, okay, we're going to put together a committee. We will have this process open so everyone can contribute. But if there is some kind of conflict or if there is a decision to be made and consensus is not being reached around it, then we're going to empower this group of people to basically make the decision. And so we were creating governance models around the wiki. So it wasn't, you know, completely open. Next slide, please. So we started this process last July. It's going to wrap up this July. We're going to make a big presentation basically at Wikimania in Gdansk, Poland. And we basically broke down the process into three phases. So the first phase was around engagement. It was around getting people involved and really getting everyone to listen to each other. So what are your ideas about Wikimedia? How do you think we can improve it? How do you think we can get more closely and reach our goals? The second phase was a deep dive. So after that whole listening process, which also included a research process, we had a sense of where we are now, right, what the Wikimedia universe looks like, and we had a sense of what some of the key questions were. So once we surfaced those questions, we wanted to dive really deeply into those questions and basically come up with a set of recommendations. And so what we did was we put together a group of task forces. We put together actually a committee that would decide what the task forces would be or what the task force topics would be. We had an application process where people could apply to serve on the task force. But again, because everything was open and transparent, and frankly because everything was on a wiki, anyone could actually participate on the task force. You didn't have to be a member of the task force per se to actually participate on the task force. Furthermore, if you didn't like the task forces that were created or you felt compelled to create your own, you could create your own. We, in fact, encourage that, and that's something that happened, and quite a few interesting things resulted from that. So we put together a bunch of task forces, and they deliberated deeply, and they came up with a set of recommendations. And then this last phase, which is the phase we're at right now, was synthesis and activation. So number one, synthesizing and prioritizing the recommendations into a set of goals and into basically a plan for the movement. And then moving towards activation. So really not just getting people to say, here's what we should do, but getting people to commit to what they will do. Next slide, please. So I want to talk a little bit about what the results of the process have been so far. And so like I said, we're actually almost done with this process. One of the things that came out of this process was Wikimediapedia. I actually coined that name. A bunch of people in the community hated it, but they didn't come up with a good alternative, so the name kind of stuck around. But basically, this is like the Wikipedia of the Wikimedia universe. It's a compendium of all the different research around Wikimedia. So it has a lot of great international content. So what's our international reach? What's the potential in different countries? How do we deal with censorship in countries like China or Iran? You know, what are the community health challenges? What are some possibilities for how to communicate, improve community health? There's just a lot of really great synthesized research and analysis in Wikimediapedia, a lot of which just came from random people from all over the world who just were compelled to come in and participate and really contributed some amazing stuff. So I'm really amazed and proud of Wikimediapedia in particular. Next slide, please. I mentioned the task force process or the deep dive process, which was phase two. So we had 14 selected task forces, which consisted of about 5 to 10 volunteers working for over about 10 weeks. None of those task forces deliver recommendations. Again, you know, this is a volunteer process, and as I said before, you know, if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. So in my opinion, this was actually a really good success percentage. The fact that a bunch of volunteers around the world spent many hours, over 10 weeks, like debating, discussing topics, bringing in research, and then ultimately agreeing on a set of recommendations, I think was really tremendous. One of the reasons it worked, and again, this is the openness coming into play, is although we had about 5 to 10 people assigned to each task force, so we actually had about 90 people who were assigned to task forces, we had over 250 people participate in that task force process. It was on the order of, and this is based on the forum conversation. There's a built-in forum on the wiki that we were using and not the wiki edit, so actual contributions were much higher than this. But in terms of just the discussion, there were approximately 30 posts a day. You can see from this graph, the blue line basically it's a running average of the number of posts a day, and the green line is a running average of the number of contributors a day. So throughout this whole process, you can see that initially it started low, and then it started building up. We had a peak right before the deadline where we asked people to deliver recommendations, and then once they sort of agreed on that, it basically leveled out. You can actually see there was an upward trend after the deadline, which was because once the recommendations were delivered, then a whole bunch of people came and they wanted to basically discuss the recommendations and to debate the recommendations. So it's a really nice process. You can also see sort of the power law in place. If you look at the green line, the average really hovered around, you know, 11 to 13 people who were really engaged every day in the process, right? So as a whole, as I'll talk about in a second, we had basically over 1,000 people contributing to the wiki and to the process in some way. But when you were talking about people who are actively engaged in the process, you know, over time, it was really between, you know, 10 to 20 people who were really participating in a big way in this whole process. Next slide, please. So, you know, just to add to that, I mean, that's 10 to 20 people in addition to our team. So these are people who would not have participated otherwise, and frankly, people who we didn't necessarily know beforehand. And so, you know, opening up the process really allowed us not only to get quality in terms of, like, number of contributions, number of ideas, and that sort of stuff, but number of core people who really helped us synthesize and engage the community in this stuff. So we're in this last phase right now, which is synthesis and activation. And you can see this is the revision history of the movement priorities page, which is the page that most of the community has focused on the past month. And really, it's how do we take all of this research, how do we take all these recommendations and boil it down to, like, 5 to 10 priorities, concrete priorities, so priorities with measurable goals over the next 5 years. And so that's the process we're going through right now. Next slide, please. So this gives you an overall sense of the participation statistics. This is actually an old slide, so this only goes through February. If you look through, if I had the slide for up to the current month, basically June now, you can see basically the trend is about the same. You see already that there was a flattening out process. There are a couple of spikes in terms of contributions, in terms of number of people participating, but it's largely followed this very incremental growth path at this point. So the blue line is the number of pages total on the wiki, and the green line is the number of participants on the wiki. And you can see specific milestones marked on this particular graph, which shows, you know, when things happened. I'll just point out one in particular because I think it's important. So the first two spikes on the green line is the call for proposals, call for volunteers. And basically what we did is we used the Wikimedia project and we posted a site notice across every project, which basically asked people to come volunteer and help. And, you know, this goes back to the if you build it, they will come kind of mentality that some people have about open source projects in general or about any kind of focused process where you do, like, open brainstorming or open wiki processes or that sort of stuff. You know, at the end of the day, like, the way you get people to engage in a process is to ask them. And that was something we found over and over and over again. I mean, this has been a long process. It's been a year-long process. As I said before, attention has been a challenge. We've been lucky enough to have people who have come on board and who have stayed engaged and who have helped us engage other people. But when we have gone out and deliberately made a big push and asked a lot of people to participate, we found that people generally respond. People want to help. People want to find ways. Next slide, please. So one of the things I said that the result of any kind of open process is that you leave yourself open for emergence. And so if you're successful, then great sort of happens. And so we've had good things that have happened, and we've had some interesting or funny things happen. This is actually a picture of one of Wikimedia Foundation's board members, Jan Bart, and he made this T-shirt all on his own. It is an officially unsanctioned T-shirt, and it's a little bit of a joke on the wisdom of crowds, and basically he's saying, you know, how important strategy is and how we should all engage in this process. So this was a T-shirt that he made pretty early Unfortunately, it's a couple sizes too small. So he did donate it to someone more size appropriate afterwards, but it was one of the more humorous ways that we saw it emerge. And we saw a lot of things like this come up. I mean, really clever, like, blow-your-mind kind of things. We had a guy who basically would take proposals on the wiki and then would read them out loud and videotape them and put them on YouTube so that people who couldn't read, for example, could hear these proposals. And frankly, so that it was sort of a different kind of form of engagement. So we had a lot of, like, really kind of interesting things that happened that way. And then we had emergence that was a little more predictable and what was hoped for. It was not a certainty by any means of imagination, but it was stuff that we wanted to happen and unfortunately did happen. So we had people pop up from out of nowhere to help us garden the wiki, which is always really critical for this kind of thing. We had people who really helped go out and engage other people, draw other people into the process, and really take ownership of it. We had a lot of people who contributed all sorts of research, all sorts of data that we never could have come up with on our own. We had a very good team of people internally who was working on research, but even with them working as hard as they did, they couldn't have come up with this stuff on their own. So, again, openness and transparency really improving the process. Last slide. So I want to talk about just the key learning. So the first one I've mentioned over and over again, you know, modeling is critical. Don't assume that everyone sort of is going into this with a clear idea of what needs to be done. Build the capacity of the community by modeling, by doing things transparently. The second thing, relationships matter a lot. You know, I think one of the things that we forget when we think about projects is we take sort of a very kind of factory approach to thinking about them. And in a network world, I think in any kind of world, that's never appropriate, and that's not going to lead to success. But in a network world, in an open world in particular, the success of your project depends on the quality of your relationships and the trust that you build with other people. And then you have to invest a lot of time to build relationships. I went back to and mentioned the ask and how the ask resulted in a lot of things. Well, one of the reasons I think our ask was successful, beyond the fact that sometimes people just need to be asked to do things, is the fact that we did build a strong relationship. We invested a ton of time early on just talking to people, just making ourselves available, answering questions, really being put through a grinder in some cases. And people listened, and they saw that we were sincere in what we were trying to do, and people trusted us. And so they were willing to commit their time. So really spending a lot of time developing relationships was important. And then finally, being bold. As I said before, if you're not failing, if you're not screwing up a lot, you're not trying hard enough. And we tried hard in this whole process. You know, there are a lot of things that we did screw up. There are things that we can do a lot better in the future. The project, at the end of the day, ended up being so much better than it would have been had it just been one of sort of the traditional, small, internal, closed processes. And boldness, you know, really made a difference at the end of the day. So that's it in terms of the presentation. Are there any questions?
Great. Eugene, there's one question which is very much related to the point that you just made. And if I'm interpreting the question correctly, really the question is, how accurate were you in terms of expressing the expected time commitments required for the core participants, and how did you come up with those estimates, and, you know, what was the consequence of either being correct or off base on those estimates?
That's a really good question. So if so with the task force process in particular, we came up with an estimate of 10 hours a week, and we totally made it up. And we sort of used it as a screen because we wanted to use it to, you know, get only people who are serious. And we also used it because we thought that would be about right. There were people who invested much more than 10 hours a week. I would say the vast majority of people who participated in the process contributed much less. And I think that putting out that expectation was actually a mistake. And the reason it was a mistake was, and this is something that we realized sort of afterwards, I have this colleague who likes to say, if you want to get something done, ask busy people. Because busy people are the type of people who get stuff done. If you're someone who has a lot of time on your hands, you're probably not the right person to come and do the job. And so what happens is you go off and you say, please come and participate in this process. Oh, by the way, you have to commit, 10 hours a week doing it. And the busy person is going to look at that and say, yeah, you know what, I don't have time. And they're not going to participate. Well, if instead you say, okay, here's something concrete that we would like you to help us do, and when you get those people engaged, once they're engaged, once they're interested, once they see what's important, then they actually will invest a lot of time. And that's something that we saw over and over again, and it's related to the app. Trying to set the expectation, I mean, I think that's fair, and I think that's important to do, but, at the end of the day, I think it hurt us more than helped us. And I think we see that with open source projects, too. I mean, how many open source projects say up front, if you want to contribute to Linux, you have to be willing to invest X amount of time early, right? I don't think any of these projects would.
That's a great insight. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap that up there, but thank you so much for joining us and sharing that. I think the Wikipedia project is fantastic, and all the Wikimedia projects feed into that. So we are now at our break time. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to music for 15 minutes, and then we'll come back at 12:30 with a panel on music with Daniel James and Kurt Smith. And I think that's going to be a great panel, so do come back to us. And as always, if you have questions, you should queue them up so we can get to you and make you part of this discussion. Thank you so much.